Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what are we going to talk about today? It's another one of those days where I've got too much information, too many things to talk about. I still want to play some of the audio from the remarks and the comments at the ribbon cutting for the Montana Heritage Center, the new facility for the Montana Historical Society in our state's capital. But I'm going to have to save that for a Freedom Friday special for you here, because we got too much to get to here today. But let's see. Hey, what should we start with? Well, let's start with a story that I just posted on our Montana Talks website. I had to divert from my normal round of show prep here this morning to get this story on our website. You know, it's funny. I get so many messages, so many emails and things like that, that it's just like you're going to miss something every now and then. You're just going to miss something. And so I missed this press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office. I think this came out on Tuesday, maybe. I think it came out Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe Monday. I don't know. Whatever. But I finally got the news on our Montana Talks website, because this is a big story. Remember those ICE raids in Belgrade, Montana? And by the way, big thanks to, I think it was Scott C. on X. He had sent this story to both John Jackson and I think yesterday afternoon, about this Belgrade woman who pleaded guilty in federal court to harboring illegal aliens. And so that was the first I'd seen this story. And then I'm like, wait a minute, this is from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Yeah, it was yesterday afternoon. This was from the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'll bet you I have a press release with the full information on this story. And there we go. So, yeah, do you guys remember back this past summer? When was it? Was it May? Anyway, we had a couple people message us. I think we even had a caller or two. And they said, hey, is ICE doing a raid in Belgrade right now? There are several people out on the sidewalk in handcuffs right now. There's Border Patrol vehicles. There's, you know, government vehicles, all sorts of stuff going on right now. And, we ended up confirming that ICE did do a participating, HSI agents, et cetera, Border Patrol agents had assisted with this whole takedown in Belgrade. But now this Belgrade woman has pleaded guilty in federal court to harboring illegal aliens. Let me get you the news here. Yeah. Eustolia Casareal Morales, 56 years old, pleading guilty to harboring illegal aliens. She faces up to 10 years of imprisonment, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release for each illegal alien involved in the offense. And I think if I remember right, there's close to a dozen illegal aliens that she was harboring in Belgrade. The government alleged in court documents that in 2023, law enforcement debriefed two sources who described how they were smuggled into the United States from Mexico. Once here, these individuals then explained how they were eventually smuggled to Montana and then given jobs. They identified individuals in the Bozeman area who were involved in their smuggling. And so that investigation eventually is what led to this residence in Belgrade in May of 2025, earlier this year. Anyway, full story on our Montana Talks website right now. Back right after this, we got phone lines open for you as well.
Miss Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If
you're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I just had to laugh during the break. I was reading some of the Fox News Radio headlines here and the rundown that we get, because we are your Fox News Radio affiliate here on your local Montana stations in Butte, Bozeman, Livingston, Billings, you name it, here live at 6:00 in the morning, right? 6:00. When you're up at this time of day, you're like, whatever, right? Michael, big thanks to Michael Foth for filling in for Caden here this morning. But I was reading some of the headlines and I just had to laugh. So the State Department, they have this building, they have this outfit, and it's called the Institute for Peace. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this or not. But anyway, they have now renamed the Institute for Peace building the Donald J. Trump Institute for Peace building. Because, I mean, look at all of the peace deals that he has brokered here in the past few months. And then look at the Abraham Accords that he jump-started back during his first term. But yeah, I saw this. The president of peace, President Trump, is hosting the leaders of Rwanda and the DROC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, at the U.S. Institute of Peace today to sign a peace accord, another peace accord. His Peace Through Strength agenda is expected to be front and center at the event held at the USIP, which now bears his name on its sign. Secretary of State Marco Rubio explaining, quote, President Trump will be remembered by history as the president of peace. It's time our State Department displays that. Trump also says he's keeping a close watch on negotiations between Russia and Ukraine as negotiators return to Miami after stops in Moscow and across Europe. Putin wants to settle, he says. So anyway, but what I was laughing about was, you know, they've renamed the U.S. Institute of Peace Building the Donald Trump Peace Building. And I was just thinking back. We still haven't heard anything from the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula. You know, all the staff there. By the way, how do they have such a big staff? Tell me, again, from Office Space, tell me, what is it that you actually do here? Is that the right reference? I don't know. It's too early. It's 6 o'clock, whatever, in the morning again. But tell me, what do you do here at the Peace Center? Oh, well, we promote peace. Well, do you? Because President Trump is signing another peace deal today. We haven't heard squat from you guys, but you've got like a dozen staffers with your pronouns in your bios. So you got time to do the gender gymnastics about what your pronouns are, but you don't have time to celebrate peace deals? Nearly a peace deal every month that President Trump has been in office this year alone? We don't really focus on peace. We just call ourselves the Peace Center. But I was just thinking, what if they called the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center the Jeanette Rankin Donald Trump Peace Center? You know, if you want to be about peace, if you want to be about, could you imagine the heads exploding in Missoula if they had the Donald Trump Peace Center in Missoula? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so that was my laugh here this morning. All right, on to the serious news, though. Peace through strength. That's what it's all about. Evan and Belt sent us a message here before the show even kicked off. You know, this story about the strikes on the narco-terrorist and their drug boats and the Democrats clutching their pearls over it, even a handful of Republicans clutching their pearls over this. Evan and Belt says this, great fellow veteran out there. So why can our great military take out bin Laden and the Democrats think it's a big effing deal? He's quoting Joe Biden there, by the way. Then they turn around and lose 13 great Americans while a president, Joe Biden again, checks his watch and they give him a pass. But when a second strike is ordered on a drug boat, it's now a war crime. I hate to break it to these left-wing lunatic males that our military is in existence to seek, kill, and destroy any enemy that threatens our country. The irony is if these idiots wouldn't even be able to spew their propaganda BS around our country because we wouldn't be free. All right, that was from Evan and Belt. Here is Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. He was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he always has a great way of saying things.
The last few days, Sean, have been surreal. I mean, honestly. Many of my Democratic colleagues, some Republicans, they've been acting like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I mean, they're just hysterical. They've clearly exceeded the limits of their meds. They're running around. They call the president a warmonger. They call the secretary of war a war criminal. They're speaking directly to our folks in the military, telling them to disobey orders. They're out of control. And what they're confusing two issues. First, legally, there is no question. You don't have to be Oliver Wendell Scalia to know this, that the president has the authority under the Constitution, Article 2, to use military force without congressional approval. I mean, he's the commander-in-chief.
Every president has done it.
Every president since World War II. I mean, President Truman dropped bombs on Japan. President Clinton bombed Serbia. President George H.W. Bush went into Panama. None of the Democrats said a word when we bombed Iran and took them out. So they're wrong on the law.
There's more to follow here. Just about another minute or so from Senator John Kennedy. So I'll get back to that here coming up after the farmer. Actually, if I probably would have just kept playing it, he might have gotten cut off. And he closes with a very good point. So we'll get back to the Senator Kennedy clip right after the Farm and Ranch Report. Plus, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970.
Fox on set.
Artificial intelligence could now be helping Indiana Jones. Researchers in Israel have trained AI to read and catalog an ancient collection of Jewish documents, some of which are 1,000 years old. Known as the Cairo Geniza, the trove of writings include things like biblical pages, commentaries, and other things like medical journals written in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Arabic, and was recovered in the 18th and 19th centuries from a Cairo synagogue. But never before have the collection's 400,000 items been studied in their entirety. The AI will be ready to not only translate the documents, but input them into a searchable database, opening up the contents to scholars around the world who will, for the first time ever, have such wide-reaching access. The project is based in Israel, but it is funded by the main research arm of the European Union. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, as we continue to follow the impact of Tyson's beef plant closure in Nebraska, all the moving parts to support the 3,200 workers and their families affected in Lexington are coming together quickly. With more, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen has announced a collaboration between multiple agencies and community organizations to assist Lexington families impacted by the upcoming closure of Tyson's meat processing facility. Pillen said this holiday season will look different for these families, but said he knows that Nebraskans show up for each other and said that they're seeing that happen in Lexington. The Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, Economic Development, and Agriculture are partnering with each other and with local Lexington organizations to connect Tyson's workers and their families with various assistance programs and support. On December 3rd and 4th, a rapid response layoff services event will be hosted for all Tyson workers at the Dawson County Fairgrounds. Agencies will cover resources such as unemployment insurance benefits, job search resources, and economic support programs. Nebraska Commissioner of Labor Katie Thurber said it is through community support that such large-scale efforts have come together in such a short amount of time. She said Nebraska employers are also collaborating to host job fairs, and those details will be coming soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. Now, in addition to efforts by state agencies, she says the Lexington Community Foundation has information about local organizations that are also providing and accepting assistance to support workers. There's also full details on our website about how you can support the meat processing workers that have worked for all these years to take cattle from our gates to consumer plates. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
The holidays, a time filled with joy, laughter, and a whole lot of family. And while we may not always agree on everything when we get together, the one thing we can agree on is the conversation-stopping power of Mom's Herb Seasoned Rib Roast. Together, we bring more Start your holiday season at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Funded by Beef Farmers and Ranchers.
I'm Lane Sitz. I'd like to invite you out to our annual fall sale. It is always the first Thursday in December, so December 4th. We have a pre-sale dinner social on December 3rd as well. This year we are offering 460 coming two-year-old pap-tested bulls, as well as 300 commercial bred heifers and 150 running-age bred cows. Again, we look forward to seeing you all on sale day on December 4th.
11 a.m. is sale time on December 4th for the Sitz Angus 60th Annual Production Sale at the ranch in Harrison, Montana.
Well, the USDA says that farmers and landowners waiting for their annual CRP rental payments should start seeing those funds hit their bank accounts either this week or next at the latest. CRP pays more than $1.85 billion each year to more than 300,000 landowners who have over 25.8 million acres enrolled in the popular conservation program. The top 12 states for CRP enrollment actually make up more than three quarters of the program's acreage and 70% of the rental payments, and seven of the 12 are actually right here in Western Ag Network country. To check out the list and payments, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana had another point that he was making about these strikes on these narco-terrorist boats coming to the United States of America. By the way, they've been coming to the United States of America for decades now, of course. But Admiral Bradley will be meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill today. This is from Fox News Radio. Key lawmakers will hear directly from the source as a backlash mounts. Does it mount, though? I mean, give me a break. Over a September follow-on strike on an alleged narco boat, the White House says Admiral Bradley, head of U.S. Special Operations Command, ordered the second strike and will brief top armed services and intelligence lawmakers today in a closed-door SCIF session. Secretary of War Hegseth is defending Bradley as a hero. Asked by Fox what he plans to ask Bradley, Democrat Senator Mark Warner out of Virginia said, "What was the presumption? If it was just two individuals in the water that were struggling for their lives, that what was the validation of second strike one to take place?" Pressed yesterday on whether Hegseth or Bradley should be punished, Trump replied, quote, "I think you're going to find that this is war, that these people were killing our people by the millions. I think last year we lost close to 300,000 people because of these types of drugs." Here, that takes us now to just, I think, the final part of that Senator Kennedy's soundbite from Hannity's show last night.
Now, on the other question, of course, is a moral issue. Should the president be doing this to narco-terrorists, to drug dealers? And I think if the president were here right now, Sean, he'd look in the eye and he would say, these people are killing our children. We know who they are. We know they're state-sponsored. I've declared them to be foreign terrorists, which gives me the right to use military force. And that's what he is doing, and I think the American people will support him and will continue to.
All right. Now, I think I might have audio of President Trump talking about these narco strikes as well. He was doing like a press event in the Oval Office yesterday with the CEO of Ford and other major automobile dealers associations, et cetera. That's a big story worth talking about here this morning, too. But as usual, President Trump, unlike Sleepy Joe, not only does he open up his cabinet meetings to the press, the ninth cabinet meeting earlier this week, live on TV, but then, like, any time he's doing an event in the Oval Office and they've got the cameras there, they'll start throwing random questions from the Somali fraud story out of Minnesota to the narco-terror strikes in the Caribbean. And, of course, Donald Trump, he turns it into a full-blown press conference while he's sitting right there. But let me see. Oh, yeah, here we go. I've got one more thing on the narco-terror strikes. Stephen Miller, I think, was on with Jesse Waters last night, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll play that quick soundbite for you coming up right after this. And I just got an email from Nancy in Roundup that I'll share with you on this topic as well. So that and more coming up here in 60 seconds right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the state. The email from Nancy in Roundup here to share with you. She says this: in the first place, Maduro is not the president of Venezuela. The people voted against him. He just stole the election. The United States will do that nation a huge favor by destroying the Maduro regime. And if Venezuela gets back to normal, the citizens will stop crossing our borders illegally. A true win all around. And the American resistance to Trump protecting us from dangerous drug cargoes. Forget that almost 1,000 Venezuelans who opposed Maduro are in prisons being starved and tortured to death. Support your president and Navy always. That's what Nancy in Roundup has to say. What a great message there from Nancy in Roundup. Yeah. Yeah. Why isn't Democrat Senator Mark Warner out of Virginia being pressed about the many Venezuelans that are being starved and tortured? If they care about Venezuelans, why don't they care about Venezuelans? I guess would be another way to put it. Nancy, great point. Here's Stephen Miller.
This is the first time I could ever think where a major political party has sided with narco-trafficking, murdering, terrorist scum. You know, you play one of those clips from a Democrat who said, oh, there's no such thing as a narco-terrorist. They're just narco-persons. The ISIS and these narco-terrorists in our hemisphere use the same tactics. They use rape as a weapon. They skin people alive. They cut off their heads. They burn them to death. These narco-terrorists, if a politician opposes them, they kidnap their family. If they don't give them what they want, they murder their family. You can go to the Border Patrol here in the United States and you can say, draw me a map of the border. And on the Mexican side, tell me which cartel controls every inch of territory. And the border agents can literally say, mile by mile, which cartel controls which section of the border. Not the Mexican government. They don't control it. Which cartel? When President Trump declared these organizations foreign terrorist organizations, that wasn't just a talking point. That wasn't just a buzzword. It was a promise. A promise from this president to use hard American power to kill and to stop these terrorists, these enemies of the United States, from killing our families, from killing our children, from taking over our communities. And that's what President Trump is doing.
What we see happening here is really, you see the Democrats' foreign policy. Although, really, this is a domestic question as well because of the drugs flowing in here. The Democrats' foreign policy mirrors their domestic policy. There's a story I need to find out of California where basically, you know, that California created this portal to protect criminals. Why didn't they have a portal to protect the victims? Same thing on the foreign policy front. They're so worried about the narco-terrorists. They're not worried about the people back in Venezuela. They're not worried about the people here in Montana that have lost loved ones to these drugs. No, they're worried about the criminals bringing the drugs here. Well, did they try to shoot them a second time? I mean, it was okay if they shot them the first time, but a second time?
Gutter Protection himself, Chris Cunahan.
Securing America.
Wednesday, several law enforcement agencies in Georgia announced the results of a cooperative effort late last month, which resulted in a major drug seizure. North Georgia U.S. Attorney Theodore Hertzberg.
Approximately 1,600 pounds of deadly Mexican cartel trafficked methamphetamine, which remains a significant scourge in our community.
The meth was in several trucks and hidden in shipments of blackberries. Paul Brown is the special agent in charge of the FBI's Atlanta office.
Although this was a significant disruption to drug trafficking here in Georgia, we're not satisfied with this alone.
Two people were arrested in the case, including an undocumented migrant. Chris Hosey is the director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
This fight will continue, keeping our communities and states safe from this kind of evil that exists.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation. I think David Noble's going to be with us next hour of the show. I haven't checked in with him, but yeah, typically joins us every Thursday at the 7 o'clock hour. I'm hoping he joins us because I got some more hopey, climatey, changey stuff to share with you here. A couple of very interesting tidbits. By the way, one of the funniest things from Tuesday's show was John Jackson. When did this come up? Oh, yeah, he was talking about, you know, here in Montana, we have massive fires in the summer. Well, not as massive as it used to be, because now we've got a Republican governor that actually, you know, wants to aggressively fight the fires when they start instead of waiting until they burn out of control to then set up gigantic man camps to spend a bunch of money and let the fire keep burning. No, instead, he's aggressively attacking the fires from the start. So, but anyway, you know, we have fire season and then we have snow season, right? And then sometimes flooding season as well. But, you know, the hurricanes, that's the big deal back in the areas, the coastal areas, right? And so that's why I just, you know, it's like I just wasn't thinking of hurricane season this year. But the other reason I wasn't thinking of hurricane season this year was apparently there was no hurricanes. I just got this news. John was telling us about this yesterday. There's no hurricanes. But last year when there was some hurricanes, it's climate change. Climate change is causing hurricanes. I mean, we always had hurricanes. No, it's climate change causing hurricanes. Well, where are the hurricanes this year? When climate change just says, you know what, I'm going to sit this year out. You know what, you guys are good. I scared you last year. I'm going to just sit this year out. You know, there's every now and then I just like to take a break from my hopey, climatey, changey stuff. Like, no, like these people are nuts. They just want to scare everybody into throwing the American economy out with the bathwater, out with the Chinese plastic into the ocean. I mean, good night, you know. But yeah, where were the hurricanes? That was the hopey, changey, climatey story that was in yesterday's show. But there's some other interesting things that are coming out about the European economy right now. I'll get to here. Come either way, we'll get to it in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. There was one other thing I got to get to on these narco terror strikes. Let me see. I think I can just play it right out of my computer here. So actually, it was Tim and Savage who shared this one with me. Oh, now it's wanting me to log into the old Facebook. Oh, for Pete's sake, here we go. Oh, come on. Try it. The three-factor notification. For Pete's sake, your Facebook, you're not like, you know, the bank. Let me see here. Let me see if I can log into this one real fast here. Actually, I know another way I can do it. See? You got one, you got none. There's always a backup. Let me plug in my other computer here to my board. It'd be a lot easier here to play it from this one. But basically, you know, here's the Democrats. And when John and I were talking about this yesterday from in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of this show, again, this was this is another example of who can Trump get the Democrats to defend next? I mean, these guys, I mean, we have seen them defend the defenseless, right? Yeah, what is going on with my Facebook here? It's like, for Pete's sake, I was literally just sharing stories on Facebook with that Belgrade woman pleading guilty to harboring illegal aliens. I just shared that on Facebook like an hour ago. Now it's wanting me to do all this stuff here. Give me a break. Okay. Well, I guess I'm actually, hey, Michael, are you able to play that Facebook post from back there? If you can scroll up in our Teams chat there, it was the Facebook link that I sent you earlier. If you're able to play it from back there, let me know. If not, no worries. We'll get, but basically, Joe Biden, back in the day when Joe Biden had less hair than he does now, you know, usually when they show a video of you back in the, you know, the 80s or the 90s, oh, look at how much hair you had back then. With Joe Biden, it's the opposite. He didn't have hair back then, but he has hair now. It's a miracle. It's a miracle drug that I don't think came in on a narco terror ship from Venezuela. But yeah, Joe Biden was on camera in like the 80s or the 90s, basically saying, yeah, we need to strike these narco terror boats, blow them up out of the water, something to that effect. And you know, something, again, something that people used to talk about doing to defend America, Donald Trump is actually doing it right now. Actually doing it. Okay, let's switch on to another topic here. Yeah, I can't get that Facebook video to for whatever reason pull up for me here. Ooh, there is my cell phone, actually. I could just hook that into the system. Let me see. I'm trying to think how Tim sent me the message. See, yeah, this is the thing. Once I get an idea in my head, it's so hard to get the idea out of my head. It's like, no, now I have to play the Biden clip. Where is the Biden clip? Oh, man. Anyway, let's see. I think it came in on a message or something, but okay. I'm going to move on. I don't have the soundbite of President Trump talking about the narco terror strikes, but we do have President Trump talking about the Somalia fraud, the Somalia migrant fraud, billions of dollars in fraud just in Minnesota alone.
The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, is saying that he's actually proud to have the largest Somali community in the country, and his police chief...
Well, then he's a fool.
Well, his police chief is also saying...
I wouldn't be proud to have the largest Somalian... Look at their nation. Look how bad their nation is. It's not even a nation. It's just a... people walking around killing each other. Look, these Somalians have taken billions of dollars out of our country. They've taken billions and billions of dollars. They have a representative, Ilhan Omar, who they say married her brother. It's a fraud. She tries to deny it now, but you can't really deny it because, you know, it just happened. And she shouldn't be allowed to be a congresswoman, and I'm sure people are looking at that. And she should be thrown the hell out of our country. And most of those people, they have destroyed Minnesota, okay? Minnesota, you have an incompetent governor. You have a crooked governor. He's crooked as hell, but he's incompetent. Waltz is, he should be ashamed. That beautiful land, that beautiful state, it's a hellhole right now. And the Somalians should be out of here. They've destroyed our country. And all they do is complain, complain, complain. You have her. She's always talking about the Constitution provides me with... go back to your own country and figure out your Constitution. All she does is complain about this country. Without this country, she would not be in very good shape. She probably wouldn't be alive right now. So Somalia is considered by many to be the worst country on earth. I don't know. I haven't been there. I won't be there anytime soon, I hope. But what Somalia, what the Somalian people have done to Minnesota is not even believable. It's not even believable. And a lot of it starts with the governor. A lot of it starts with Barack Hussein Obama.
All right. That was President Trump in the Oval Office where they were talking with the auto dealers, but then just turned it into a press conference. Laura Ingraham last night had a great segment all around talking about the Somali fraud in Minnesota. And because of the political power of the Somali community, that's exactly why the mayor there and the politically appointed police chief there are still pandering to the Somali community and refusing to go after all of this fraud that's taken place.
For years, this politically powerful group, a staggering 80,000 strong, has had liberals like Governor Tim Walz and Twin Cities mayors in their back pockets. And now they've concluded, yeah, they're above the law.
Walz is, he should be ashamed. That beautiful land, that beautiful state, it's a hellhole right now. And the Somalians should be out of here. They've destroyed our country. And all they do is complain, complain, complain.
Well, thanks to the City Journal, Americans and President Trump were made aware of a decade-long string of Somali fraud schemes that ended up stealing billions of taxpayer dollars by exploiting Minnesota's very generous welfare state, where the culprits here inoculated themselves from scrutiny by crying discrimination at every turn. You know how it goes. Well, it took long enough, but prosecutors finally started bringing the culprits down.
We've got 78 people that have been arrested pursuant to our investigation along with the interagency, and that investigation is very much ongoing. We are not finished. It was one of the largest fraud scams ever committed in the state of Minnesota history, and we are going to continue to interview and subpoena anyone involved with this case.
And now the state is getting a thorough review also by the Treasury Department, which announced it was launching its own investigation, including the claims that millions of the taxpayers' dollars were funneled to the Islamic terror group Al-Shabaab. And on top of that, House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer just announced his own investigation. Now, this is all long overdue, but naturally, Democrats like Mayor Jacob Frey ignore the opportunity to clean up the crime and instead attack Trump and then pander to the Somalis.
Exactly, exactly. Same thing with Tim Walz. Tim Walz, I already mentioned this a couple of times this week on the show. When he was on Meet the Press on Sunday, he downplayed the fraud, downplayed the connections to the migrant community, and because he's still pandering because of their political power.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And what do we learn about these Afghan refugees? Biden, Harris, just like they said, border closed, border secure, border closed, border, no, not, none of it, which is true. 76,000. They told us, Mayorkas, we're so proud of our resettlement thing. It's one of a source of great pride. Well, they had 5,000 plus flagged for national security concerns. They still let them into your country. 6,868 flagged for derogatory information, meaning ding, 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 five alarm fire. They let them in anyway. Nearly 1,000 flagged for fraud, 1,000 flagged for public safety. And we still have nearly 1,000 of them still at large that are national security risks. We have no idea where they are.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, with war in the Middle East, war in Europe, I mean, so many untold tens and tens of thousands of people have been suffering, and they are all in need of the bare necessities of life. They need food and water and medication and clothing and shelter. You name it, they need it. Told you about Maria, 85 years old, lives alone, nearly blind, broken hip, a Holocaust survivor. Her father and brother murdered by the Nazis. Now, she still lives in her childhood home. She doesn't have indoor plumbing, no heat. It's bitter cold, and she barely has enough food to survive. Now, you can help us through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For example, a $25 gift will provide survival food boxes, and that's life-saving aid for people like Maria. Whatever you can donate, your generosity makes it all possible. Call now, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or online, just go to HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
You're listening.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think I finally figured out a way to play this audio clip for you. Laura Ingram actually shared this on Facebook. Thanks to Tim and Savage for sending us this one as well. So here you go again. You've got politicians, even Democrat politicians, going back to the 80s and the 90s saying, we've got to go after these drug lords. We have to even go after these, you know, these narco terrorists and their drug boats, et cetera. But now Donald Trump is doing what other politicians only talked about doing typically. And they're trying to basically turn it into some sort of impeachable offense. It's just insane. Here you go. This is Joe Biden back in 1989. Let me see if I got it queued up for you properly here. All right.
Every president for the past two decades, Democrat and Republican alike, has declared war on drugs. And each of them has lost that war and lost it miserably. They lost because they attempted to deal with only part of the drug problem. They lost because their initiatives were pulled apart by bureaucratic squabbling among their advisors. They lost because they always did too little and they did it too late. We don't oppose the president's plan. All we want to do is strengthen it. We don't doubt his resolve. All we want to do is stiffen it. The trouble is that the president's proposals are not big enough to deal with the problem. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco terrorists, and they must know it. We have to lock up the dealers for a long, long time, and we have to attack the source from which the drugs come. And we have to do that not a piece at a time, but all at once. And we have to do it now. And there's not any reason why we can't do that. We have the power, we have the money, and we have the knowledge. Every president...
Man, could you imagine 2025 Joe Biden watching that clip of 1989 Joe Biden? Huh? What's that you say? What's that you say? Go after narco terrorists that are coming across our borders? I mean, he literally was talking about narco terrorists coming across our borders. This is, and then fast forward from 1989 to 2021, and look at what he did to give the narco terrorists full, complete, open access to our southern border. Not just for narco terrorists, but for child sex traffickers, for human traffickers. He lost over 300,000 kids. And then his DPHHS placed some of these kids, the ones that they actually knew where they were at, placed them into homes of people that weren't even related to these kids that were trafficked across our southern border. And then they set up a tip line, a phone number for the kids to call if they were being abused at the hands of the people whose homes they were placed in by the Joe Biden administration. And the kids picked up the phone and called for help because they were being abused in the homes that Joe Biden's team placed them in, and nobody answered the phone call. I mean, that is how sickening and what a national betrayal that administration was. And Democrats like Montana's own John Tester were with them every single step of the way. And you need to be reminded, because there's another fake, phony, moderate Democrat they're going to try to run again. You just
the mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.